we all have had that experience, right? You walk into a store, again, online or in real, you know, in real life, doesn't matter. And you see that thing, right? That's like, oh my God, I have to have that. I've been wanting that. I have to, you know, I'm like, I have to have that. Good, put it in your cart. Put it in the cart, walk around, pet the sweater, look at the shoes, put them on, you know, read some of the chapters, the inside cover, the back cover, you know, whatever it is, the tools, you know, whatever it is, read it, do it, feel it, experience it, and then walk out of the store after you've put it back on the shelf. And then go home and wait 2 days. And generally what happens is the luster comes off of that.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. I am Dawn Mathis, and we have a wonderful guest today, something we haven't talked about previously. And before I introduce her, I just wanted to preempt this with talking about, if you've listened to some of the other episodes, talking about what our four major vision quadrants are in our lives, one of them being health and well-being, another one being love and relationships, a third one, vocation and or creative expression, and finally, last but not least, is the money quadrant or the financial freedom and time freedom quadrant. And like I said, we haven't really spoken about that in any depth on any previous podcast. So I am thrilled to bring Eileen Slatko to the table today to chat with us a little bit about her work in the world. She is the CEO and principal of DSS Consulting. And after a 25-year career as a financial advisor, Eileen provides behavioral and financial decision-making strategies to women like us who might be in the midst of an estate, a divorce, some other kind of turmoil, or just wanting to get a handle on our finances. You know, it used to be that it was a guy thing to do or a man thing to do. And many times I find that in my own clients that when things change, it's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And so Eileen offers coaching in financial wellness. I love her website. I was looking at it. And one of the things that I love that it says is our greatest asset is the mindset we have about money. The mindset we have about money, because that dictates what we do with the money we have. So I am going to let Eileen talk. Eileen, thank you so much for joining us today. So appreciate your time.
Dawn, thank you for the invitation to be here and chat with you and your audience. I'm delighted to be able to share, hopefully, some knowledge with everyone.
Oh, I'm going to be taking notes. So, one of the things that was very calming when I went on your website was right underneath, it talks about where it says DSS Financial and it says, get ready to empower your finances. I love that. And then also right there, it says financial literacy simplified. Can you talk to that piece? Because finances are such a charged topic. And I think sometimes they create anxiety. And those words just seem like, oh, like a breath of fresh air. Like, okay, this is a place I can relax and learn. I can learn from this woman. So do you mind speaking to that, what you mean by that empowering your finances and simplifying that financial literacy.
Yeah, I'm going to take it in reverse if you don't mind. So I'm going to talk first about financial literacy simplified. In all the years that I've been in business, which has been clearly more than just 25 years, although it was 25 plus in the financial industry, one of the things that I have done repeatedly and I think successfully, I'm hoping successfully, is to be able to take complex subjects and make them understandable. So I break them down so that people understand them. You know, one of the things that happens in the financial world, the same way it happens in the medical profession sometimes, and in other, say, scientific, you know, in many different places in business, is that we have our own way of talking. We have our own words, our language, you know, it's the speak, right? So the finance speak that we all get into. And for people that are looking in that aren't actually part of it, they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Right.
The truth is that the topics themselves, the concepts aren't that difficult once we break them down. It's that we cloak them in this language that makes it sound like it's sort of clubhousey and you need that password to, you know, and the special knock at the door to get in, when in fact, I really try and just provide financial literacy and I simplify it. That isn't to say that I speak at the level of, you know, a child, but I break the topics down so that they are understandable. And then on the other side, I say to people all the time now, you know, my whole goal is to give you enough information so that when you're finished a class of mine or you're finished a coaching session with me, that you have confidence in your knowledge in this subject to be able to go and make decisions. To me, that's my whole job. My whole goal is to empower people to do that, primarily women. And so that's the empowering your finances. Once I can talk to you in a way that you understand the concepts, then I feel like, you know, sort of that mother hen where I'm pushing you out going, okay, you got this, go ahead, do it on your own. And it's, you know, so fabulous to see people do that. I had a class a number of years ago in a program that I taught that I'm getting ready to start taping again, actually, with all new, you know, current up-to-date information. But anyway, I taught this class years ago called Women and Their Money. Mm-hmm. And I had a woman that was in this class, and it was a multi-session class. One of the things we talked about was alternative investments. So we started to talk a little bit about real estate ownership and second home. I mean, buying rental properties as passive income. And this woman, I don't know, maybe a year, maybe two had gone by. I'm walking on the sidewalk one day and this woman comes running up and she goes, Eileen. I'm like, yes. She says, you probably, or you may not remember me, but I was in your class about a year ago and you talked about buying rental property and you made me feel like I could do it. I now own rental property and it's really thanks to you. And I was like, whoa, thank you. That is very cool. So that's my whole goal with everything that I do, is to break it down so that each topic is understandable and there's a why behind it. So it's not just here's what you should do, but here's the why you should do it. Because that resonates, right?
Like, sure.
We start talking about gender pay gap and we start talking about how much less on the back end that means for women in retirement accounts and social security payments and, you know, benefits and all of that. There's a why behind maybe not being so consumer driven and putting money aside. Right. Yeah. And that's a whole lot different than me saying, don't spend so much.
Right. Because what exactly does that mean?
And why should I do that?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just some motivation or some impetus, some other thing to think about besides what that, for instance, that super triple caramel macchiato costs $4 a day and I buy it 5 days a week. And what could I do instead with that money, those kinds of things. Just having people look at things from a different aspect, would you say?
I would say, I think that, I mean, I give some ways to sort of trick your brain. Hmm. You know, I don't have an issue with a $4 coffee nearly as much as I have an issue with the taking the COVID relief money that came right over the last couple of years and people going out and buying luxury items. I mean, I know over many years, $4 a day is going to build up. But when I see people buying $1,000, $1,200 luxury purses because they've gotten this free money from the government, and I want to say to them, do you understand that at 25, when you're spending this money, you're actually throwing away about $30,000 or $20,000 when you're my age? That's what it could grow to. And so it's, you know, it's a way of rethinking about all of our expenditures.
Right. Yeah. Right. And I see that you have, so it says, there's an asterisk and then it says IT and then it says show. Does that stand for shit show?
It does. But I wasn't allowed to call the show the shit show.
Well, I actually have some socks that say ringmaster of the shit show. So I kind of, that's one of my words. So anyway, I wore them when I moved my parents and their three storage units twice. Those were my socks. Anyway, that's another Oprah. So I see that some of your focus is on younger women too, just to get them to start thinking, gosh, I wish I had known about someone like you when I was in my 20s. Man, do I wish not that things are dire or anything like that, but things could be a whole lot better with a little bit more knowledge.
Yeah, it is what I hear a lot, Dawn, and that's why I did the, that's why I taped, you know, the episodes that you saw of the It Show, because I think it's important. And, you know, I try again, if you've listened to any of them, I find one topic and I talk about that topic for half an hour, sort of like a 360 view. You know, what are all the different ways we could be looking at this topic, so that hopefully young women will get engaged in thinking about their money in a long-term way.
So I think I know the answer to this question, but what led you to specifically focus on women in this topic?
When I started in the business, back in April of 1987, I was at a very large, what we call wirehouse, one of the big names in the brokerage industry. And there were maybe, I don't know, 110 brokers in the office and maybe five women. And in my own family, so this is going to meander a little bit, but I promise I'll bring it all together. In my own family, in the previous year, I had lost three men, leaving three widows. So I lost my grandfather, I lost my stepfather, and I lost an uncle. All three of them left widows. All three of the widows had varying amounts of money and knowledge. I am a trained actor, so I studied and majored in and did a lot of shows, stage work, commercials. I have done some movies. Don't go look for me. You won't find anything. It was a stage name, and it's really not my best work. But I thought, you know, the manager said to me, here's how you'll be getting your clients. You'll be phoning, cold calling about 200 people a day, you know, 50 in the morning, 50 in the afternoon as a minimum, and hopefully more than that. And I'm like, oh no, I can't do that. I can't do it. So I thought, okay, I've got to do a seminar because I'm good at that. I know how to do that. I like doing that. What can I talk about? And then I'm starting to think about my whole family situation. I thought, I'm going to concentrate on women. Now, at the very same time that I was thinking about all this, this is all true. At the very same time I'm thinking about this, in Northern Virginia, where I am now and where I was at the time, with a big interlude of somewhere else in between, but there was an office that had been temporarily funded, like they were seeing if it was going to be a long-term funding for the local government. And it was called the Financial Education Center. That was a government office. And the mandate was to provide financial education and counseling to women and the elderly. So I'm like, okay, this all is fitting together. So I actually called the woman who was the executive director and I said, this is what I do. And she said, great, let's put something together. And so I had a 4-session program, Women and Their Money, that was 2 hours a night. Women came for 4 Tuesdays or 4 Thursdays in a row. And we just spent 8 hours talking about money. But that's how it all came about. So it wasn't because I'm a woman. I was happy to work with anyone who had money. But from a marketing standpoint, this was a way for me to differentiate myself. And then what I discovered was those were the people that needed my help. And then I relied on, you know, the fact that we're all women and we all sort of speak the same language and no one's reaching across the table, patting someone's hand going, don't you worry, you'll be just fine. We've got you taken care of, which I've had people say to me before. You know, men in the financial industry where they go, don't worry, we've got you. Quit patting my hand. I've got myself. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Right. So right. Anyway, that's how I started.
Wow, that's great. So what do you see as some of the common struggles of women around around finances?
I think it's almost universal, Dawn, that we don't look long-term. We don't start soon enough. We don't look long-term. We are so overburdened for the most part with being responsible for all the people in our lives, you know, whether it's a spouse, a partner, children, just the household. If it's, you know, if we are single, we take care of people at work, even if that's not our role, we still seem to have that, you know, that way of doing it. And our path is littered with all of these other people that we end up taking care of. And so we're always the last ones that we look after. And that's as true as, you know, in health and wellness and, you know, all the spirituality, all the quadrants that you mentioned before, money's one of them. And so this notion that I wish I had started sooner, I wish I knew the information. And so I always say to women, it's not too late. It's never too late to start. And it's never, you know, there's never too small amount to start with. What's important is that you make a decision today that you're going to take a right instead of a left, and you keep going down that path and you learn more and you make a commitment to it. So I think that most of what I hear is in that big bucket. And I know it's a big bucket, but we just haven't made, you know, we haven't made time for it to learn about and to put the money away. And it's helped. It is not helped from our standpoint, but our lack of attention to it and lack of money is augmented by the fact that there is a gender pay gap. That gender pay gap relates to less money in 401ks, less money in put away, you know, where we get Social Security benefits, less money generally in IRAs, more bills to pay because we have less cash flow. So, you know, we suffer from putting other people first and not having the same resources. And the two together just mean that we don't give this subject enough of our attention early on.
Yeah. I wish it was something that they would make part of curriculum in school, you know, so I mean, I can just see how much more that would help.
They're starting. Some states are starting to do that, and I'm so excited to see that. And there are a lot more younger people coming into financial literacy training and, you know, that are talking about it. I have friends that I just ordered and received a friend's book, young man who's working in his cohort, helping, you know, young people just graduating college to figure out some of this money stuff so they can have a leg up. And so he said, "Eileen, would you support my book?" I'm like, "Done. Just send me a signed copy. I'm happy to do it."
That's great. Yeah. That's great. What's the name of that book? Do you happen to know?
We can get it for the college to COVID, Hassan Thomas, a young Black man, but I believe it's From College to COVID.
From College to COVID.
He graduated college right when all of the pandemic was starting. And so he had to work through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our world is forever changed for sure.
Isn't it?
So what would you say to the women listening to the podcast? What are some of the simple, better financial decisions we can make today?
So there's one trick that I use, and then I will tell you a little bit about a study because that actually impacts how we think about it, right? Mm-hmm. First of all, it is a commitment. We have to make a commitment to putting the future, our future, as more important than our enjoyment of today. And that's difficult. We live in a very consumer-oriented society. And I'm as much a victim of that as anyone else. I get far too many emails reminding me of the latest sale and the latest styles, and here's some great shoes and books, and they could be very worthy pursuits, but it's still money out the door. And as I say, that's a wealth transfer. It's a wealth transfer from my pocket to someone else's pocket. And what I want to be is mindful of that. So I tell people I suggest to clients to do this, whether you shop in person or you shop online. The exercise is to fill up your cart. You know, we all have had that experience, right? You walk into a store, again, online or in real life, doesn't matter. And you see that thing, right? That's like, oh my God, I have to have that. I've been wanting that. I have to, I'm like, I have to have that. Good. Put it in your cart, put it in the cart, walk around, to pet the sweater, look at the shoes, put them on, read some of the chapters, the inside cover, the back cover, whatever it is, the tools, whatever it is, read it, do it, feel it, experience it, and then walk out of the store after you've put it back on the shelf. And then go home and wait 2 days. And generally what happens is the luster comes off of that. It's not that you don't look back and go, those were great shoes. What you do in those 2 days is you realize that that emotional part of your brain that was starting to take over has now been decoupled. And so you go, that's a great, great pair of shoes. But, do I really need like a ninth pair of black shoes? I know lavender's all the rage this year, but do I really need a lavender pair of summer shoes? Like, how many things do I have that have lavender in them? I mean, I actually got this email like, oh, it's the big color. I'm like, I got nothing in my closet. They're great shoes. But so one of the things that happens in our brain is that the same place that controls money controls food and controls sex. And for the same reason that we get excited about good food and great sex, we get excited about spending money. And so what we need to do is decouple that part of our brain. And so I find when people take 2 days away, they go, oh yeah, those were really pretty. That was a great book. Those were great, great art set, great whatever, fill in the blank, but I don't have to have it anymore. So that's the first exercise, is to train yourself. I actually make a list. I have a list that's a running list of things that I think I want. And then what happens generally is I end up crossing them off my list. I end up getting very few of the things on my list because as long as I can step back and decouple my emotions, No. Yeah. Do I really want to spend? Do I really want to transfer wealth from my pocket to that shop owner's pocket? No, I don't. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I would say that I found fascinating is I heard this study talked about where researchers from one of the, you know, academic institutions were trying to figure out why people in certain countries were very well positioned and prepared for their retirement financially. You know, they had put lots of money aside. And those countries actually represented a very small number of countries in the world. The far bigger subset or the far bigger number of countries fell into a subset that where people were not well prepared financially. And so these researchers tried to figure out what it was that there was in common that would answer why they had more money here and why less money here. So they first said, oh, is it they're better educated in this, you know, this subset of the smaller subset. And nope, a lot of not well educated countries are in that smaller subset. Oh, maybe it's because they make more money. Nope. Some of the poorer countries in the world are in the small subset where they're actually better prepared financially. So they kept testing their theories here. And here's what they found. And then I'll tell you the exercise with it. That what they found was fascinating, that the countries in the smaller subset didn't have tenses in their language. So that they didn't use tenses. So the way that you and I would have a conversation about preparing for retirement, we might say, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll get to that. I will save for retirement. I will plan for retirement. But in this subset of countries, their language didn't allow for that. So what they said was, I plan for retirement. I save for retirement. That trigger in the brain of making it today as opposed to the future was what was behind these countries being better prepared financially. It was the only thing that answered for both, you know, the smaller subset and the larger subset. So to that end, one of the things that I recommend clients do is write a letter to themselves about a day in retirement and not use future tense, so that instead of the letter or the story being, I'm going to spend time with my grandchildren, I'm going to take some classes, I'm going to travel, it becomes, I played with my grandchildren today, I'm traveling later today, so that it's all current tense. Current and then tense. I tell people, read that periodically. Mm-hmm. Remind yourself of why you're doing this. You know, this big why that has to be answered all the time. So if you can find the why, then having the commitment to put the money away is so much easier.
I love that. And actually I coach into that when we work on vision, and the vision is in the present tense. It's 3 years from the future. You are stepping out of the time machine, and whatever your vision was 3 years ago, it's yours now in the present moment. Describe it. Describe it and use your five primary senses to describe it, you know, touch and taste and see and feel and hear, all those things. I love that. That's very interesting about that small subset that they only speak in the present tense. So that's exactly how we shift to manifest our visions as we talk in the present tense. Yep. That is very interesting. I love it. So I have a vision to rewrite my vision today. I will be doing that. I'm doing it. I'm doing
good.
It. Doing it right now. Wow. That's amazing information. So Eileen, are there any closing remarks that you have that you want to just use as touch points before we sign off?
I would encourage people to come visit the website and see if any of the categories that I talk about maybe touch a nerve with you. It really comes down to your commitment to yourself. And sometimes that's really hard to do, but it's such a critical area. And I like to have fun with my clients. So I like to have fun when I talk and do programs. As I said, I'm getting ready to tape the, I think it'll be 8 sessions, one for each of the hours that I had before, but it'll be somewhere between 6 and 8 sessions. I'm getting ready in May, I think is when I'll start taping that. So by the end of May, all that'll be ready and I'll have information about where people can find that.
Wonderful.
And access that information.
And so your website is www.dssfinancial.com.
Yes, and that is actually the name of the business is DSS Consulting, but to get there, it's DSS Financial. Yep.
Okay, and so will you have information about your upcoming program on your website?
I will have it up there.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Wonderful. And then if someone wants to email you right here and right now, it's eileen@dssfinancial.com.
Correct.
Okay. Wonderful. Yep. Well, I learned a lot. I'm sure the people that are going to be listening to this podcast when it goes out will learn a lot. I already have a few people that I'm thinking about referring to you that I know are in a place where their lives have changed and they really need some help and some guidance. So you might be hearing from some of them very soon. Eileen, I want to thank you so much for your time and your wisdom and just doing what you do and being out there for women to be a beacon of hope in the financial realm.
Thanks, Dawn. It's been my pleasure to chat with you, and I hope we meet again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. Yep. Okay, everybody, you've got lots of information. You're armed with a great study, some great tools, and you know how to reach Eileen. So I invite you to take advantage of this great information, of this wonderful person, and her coursework that's coming up very soon. Let's see, that would be in a couple of months from now, May, June of 2022. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Okay.
It should be done by the end of May. Yep. I've got a meeting next week to set the schedule. So
wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. Stay safe, stay well, and this is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis, and I'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.